nuclear disarmament deals, upheaval in Kyrgyzstan, the Dalai Lama, and the booming business of a secretive sector. Those stories on this edition of Swiss Info's weekly news roundup. Today is April 9th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tim Neville in Bern. Years ago this week, the closest thing Switzerland has had to a hero died. General Henri Guisan led the country through the perilous years of World War II and devised the strategy of the Réduit, a plan for Swiss soldiers to retreat to Alpine fortresses and wage a guerrilla-style war against any invader from high in the Alps.
I don't just believe in the necessity and duty, but also in the effective capability to defend ourselves. Defense in this case means not simply to hold, but to strike with all our force, to destroy and to make them pay dearly with their lives.
This week, Swiss television honored the general with a 55-minute documentary that used previously unpublished material to paint a fresh picture of the general. Not all of it good. The footage included pictures of Guisan meeting with Italian dictator Benito Mussolini, whom the general apparently admired. It also mentions risky meetings with warring nations that, if made public, would have called into question Swiss neutrality. Fortunately, Switzerland escaped the war relatively unscathed, and Guisan stepped down on August 20th, 1945, saying he'd done his job.
Je n'ai fait que mon devoir.
I have done my duty, the duty of a soldier. My mission is over. I remain at my country's disposal.
Guisan died 15 years later, on April 7th, 1960. Some 300,000 people attended his funeral in Lausanne, which included a 2.5-kilometer procession. Although he's buried in Puy, on Lake Geneva, the general lives on, of course. Just about every Swiss town has a Guisan Platz, or an Avenue General Guisan. Around 2 million Swiss hens were busy during the past few weeks laying, what else? Easter eggs. With the holiday now over, egg demand has dwindled, creating a surplus for farmers. But as Swiss Info's Robert Brooks reports, it's not so easy telling a chicken it's time to lay off.
To mix metaphors, Swiss egg producers are in something of a pickle. After Easter, egg demand returns to normal, and farmers are often left with a surplus and no market. The Swiss government spends about 2 million Swiss francs helping to bring the egg trade back on track, with subsidies that allow producers to sell their eggs in stores at deep discounts. But that funding is being cut, so producers are slaughtering more chickens than normal. Egg dealer Ottmar Hungerbühler has another answer. Let the birds live. That way chickens can produce more eggs that farmers can then sell to food producers who make pastries, pastas and baked goods. Sounds simple, but it's not. Most eggs used to make other foods in Switzerland are typically imported from abroad at lower prices than what Swiss farmers can afford. On average, a hen lays an egg a day for a year until it slows down, gets slaughtered, and a younger, more productive hen takes its place. Hungerbühler believes if farmers let the birds live longer, the extra eggs could fuel a steady supply for production purposes, opening another market for Swiss eggs at competitive prices the whole year round. Until that happens, farmers for the moment are left scrambling. For Swiss Info, I'm Robert Brooks.
Switzerland's foreign ministry says it is optimistic about a nuclear disarmament agreement signed on April 8th in Prague by the United States and Russia. Foreign Minister Micheline Calmy-Rey called the New START Treaty a first major step toward creating a world without nuclear weapons. The deal replaces a 1991 pact that expired in December. Swiss media on April 9, by and large, welcomed the news. The Basler Zeitung said the accord is U.S. President Barack Obama's first real foreign policy success. The Tages Anzeiger added that Obama is, quote, no saint, It went on to say that, quote, it's a fact that the military power of the U.S. is strengthened with every nuclear weapon that's scrapped, end quote. The foreign ministry was also busy this week looking four time zones east to Kyrgyzstan, where a coup on April 6 left at least 68 people dead and installed new leadership. The ministry issued a statement saying it was concerned and had ordered Swiss aid workers in the poor Central Asian country to temporarily close their offices. Kyrgyzstan is a priority country for the Swiss, who represent it at the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. Earlier this week, I spoke to Mohamed Jalili, a Central Asian expert at the Graduate Institute in Geneva. He said he doesn't think the power grab will lead to sweeping reforms and better conditions for the country's poor.
We can hope if this new government is not going to do the same mistake than the other one, but I'm not really so optimistic because it's a coup. It's not really a social change and deep change. Maybe they will be more intelligent, more active for really changing the system.
The Dalai Lama met the Speaker of Switzerland's House of Representatives, Pascal Bruderer, on April 8th in Zurich. He thanked her for half a century of Swiss support for Tibet. Switzerland accepted the first Tibetan refugees in 1960. The Dalai Lama said Tibetans had positively integrated into Switzerland. The country's 4,000-strong Tibetan community is the largest in Europe. Swiss adventurer Bertrand Piccard and his team have broken new ground, or at least they've flown over it. On April 7, the group successfully completed the first real flight of a prototype airplane powered by the sun. Thomas Stevens has more.
The solar impulse plane took off after four propellers accelerated the massive craft up to the speed of a fast bicycle, about 45 kilometers per hour. It then landed after 1.5 hours in the air near its base, a military airfield at Payerne in western Switzerland. The 100 million franc project has been conducting flea hop tests with its plane since December, flying no higher than 60 centimetres off the ground. This flight went up to 1,000 metres. Piccard, who in 1999 co-piloted the first non-stop round-the-globe balloon flight, said the aim of the test flight was to see if the plane could keep a straight trajectory. It could, and extremely well, he said. The team plans to fly the plane around the world in 2013, a year later than originally hoped. The solar impulse plane is powered by nearly 12,000 solar cells that charge lithium batteries to run four electric motors. It has a wingspan of a 747, but weighs about the same as a small car. A night flight is planned later this year. For SwissInfo.ch, I'm Thomas Stevens.
In business news, while the banking, watchmaking, and manufacturing industries gather most of the headlines, another sector of the Swiss economy has been making headway almost undetected, commodities trading. Swiss Info's business correspondent Matthew Allen took a look at this growing but secretive sector.
Switzerland has long been a global center in the commodities trading world, thanks to its central European location, strong banking tradition, and stable political and economic system. But recent changes to the commodities industry, using ever more complex financial instruments to trade and speculate, has led to an explosion of activity in Zug and, most importantly, Geneva, where the industry accounts for some 6,000 jobs alone. Last year, trading in commodities such as oil, grain and electricity contributed around 2% of the total Swiss economic output, about the same as tourism. In 2003, it was less than 0.5%. Several multinational heavyweight companies now have a major presence in Switzerland. Glencore, Vitol, Trafigura, Governor and Mercuria are just some of the well-established big names, generating billions of dollars in profits between them last year. There is even anecdotal evidence that commodities traders are starting to flee London's recent tax hikes. However, just like the hedge fund industry, the exodus appears to be more of a steady trickle as opposed to a flood. Yet the whole landscape of the sector has transformed in the wake of the economic downturn, according to Geneva-based trader Samir Saikrat. The firms that took the brunt of the financial storm were those who were big enough to be badly exposed, but too small to deal with the financial consequences alone. Big players are becoming bigger, middle ones are disappearing. The better-performing smaller ones are becoming even more streamlined, he said. Pressure on banking secrecy is also changing the game. Confidentiality plays a big part in striking deals with governments and the ability to play cards close to the chest when speculating on price fluctuations. But observers believe the commodities business is set for further growth, buoyed by massive demand for oil and minerals from countries such as China, the new craze in biofuels, and recent innovations such as the trading of carbon credits. Sykrad says traders will always have work, since they play an important role in terms of what goods go to which countries and how much they pay. For Swiss Info, I'm Matthew Allen in Zurich.
In other news, Malcolm McLaren, the British former manager of the Sex Pistols, died in Switzerland on April 8. He was 64. According to relatives, McLaren was being treated for an aggressive form of cancer. They declined to say in which hospital. In a brief statement on the band's webpage, singer Johnny Rotten wrote, quote, "For me, Malc was always entertaining, and I hope you remember that. Above all else, he was an entertainer, and I will miss him. And so should you."
You're listening to Swiss Info's weekly news roundup. To learn more, head to swissinfo.ch.
Please enter your 10-digit phone number followed by your PIN code. The number of new messages is 3.
We here at Swiss Info look forward to receiving the comments you send in on our stories. You enlighten, argue, entertain, and best of all, keep us honest. And since we're being honest here, you should know that we really don't have an answering machine, and the voices you're about to hear are merely actors doing their best to imitate, well, you. But drug maker Novartis really is being sued in the U.S. by 5,600 women who say the Basel-based company has denied them promotions and pay. Dr. Mo from Switzerland had this to say.
Sexism, chauvinism, and discrimination against women is rampant in Swiss corporate culture. It was arrogant of Novartis to think it could institutionalize Neanderthal attitudes in a country where women voted for half a century before Swiss women could.
A news digest we published about Swiss Muslim scholar Tariq Ramadan being allowed back into the U.S. fired up some readers. Ramadan has been banned from the U.S. for 6 months for donating to a Swiss charity suspected of supporting Hamas. Connie from Canada was fuming.
Tariq Ramadan is not an academic. He's a snake oil salesman. What he says is worthless. What he does is of concern.
Lastly, the story on the U.S.-Russia nuclear deal we mentioned earlier prompted Max Wirth from the United States to leave this.
That's really good. From now on, Europe has to spend money for self-defense and can't count any longer on the USA umbrella.
That brings us to the end of another week in Switzerland. To learn more about the stories you've heard here and to keep up to date on current events in any one of our 9 languages, head to swissinfo.ch. To hear Swiss music, and not just yodeling, visit swissmusic.swissinfo.ch. I'm Tim Neville. Thanks for listening.